ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 32, which doesn't have a purport, so we'll text 33 later. So we'll chant text 32. Sa tam grihitva prapador. Sa tam grihitva prapador. भ्रामयित्वैकपाणिना चिक्षेपतृणराजाग्रे भ्रामणत्यक्तजीवितम् ब्राह्मणत्यक्तजीवितम् सतम् गृहीत्वा प्र ट्रांसलेशन लॉर्ड बलराम सीज धेनुका बाय हिज हूव्स वर्ल्ड हिम अबव विथ वन हैंड एंड थ्रू हिम इनटू द टॉप ऑफ ए पाम ट्री द वायलेंट वर्लिंग मोशन किल्ड द डीमन टेक्स्ट 33 तेनाहतो महातालो वेपमानो बृहच्छिराः पार्श्वस्थं कंपयन् भग्नः सचान्यं सोऽपि चापरम् ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन लॉर्ड बलराम थ्रू द डेड बॉडी ऑफ धेनुकासुर इनटू द टॉलेस्ट पाम ट्री इन द फॉरेस्ट एंड व्हेन द डेड डीमन लैंडेड इन द ट्री टॉप द ट्री बिगैन शेकिंग The great palm tree, causing a tree by its side also to shake, broke under the weight of the demon. The neighboring tree caused yet another tree to shake, and this one struck yet another tree, which also began shaking. In this way, many trees in the forest shook and broke. Purport. Lord Balaram threw the demon Dhenuka so violently into the great palm tree that a chain reaction was unleashed, and many towering palm trees shook and then broke, with a great crashing sound. So this chapter entitled The Killing of Dhenuka, the Ass Demon, in today's discussion, it is described how Lord Balaram killed the demon. Krishna, as the Supreme Absolute Truth, is active, very active. And the very word active means he has activities, he does something. Unlike people we see around, Krishna's activities are not for saving himself from some calamity. Krishna's activities are not for solving any problem, to put it very simply. And the question might be raised, if there is no problem, then why act? The very simple act of breathing, we do breathe so that we don't die. You may find people rushing towards Grand Road Station or towards Chennai Road Station or towards the airport
or towards Nariman Point, and if you ask them, why are you hurrying? I have an appointment. I have a presentation. I have a sale to conclude. Why? Because I have a job. Why job? I need this money. Why? To survive. Why do you want to survive? Because I don't want to die. Why do you want to die? Well, I don't know. I guess it's just natural that nobody should feel like they should just die. Do you at any point of time feel we should just die because dying is possible? No, we don't do anything. All our activities are having a deep underlying meaning behind them. But in material life, we just don't stop and ponder. One English poet said, life is so hectic, we don't have time to stand and stare. Of course, he was trying to stare at the flowers or smell some flowers. The Vedas talk in terms of three things. Eternity, which means perpetual existence. No fear of anybody threatening your existence. The second aspect of what constitutes a happy life. First is, nobody should threaten you with any kind of danger. The second is awareness, full awareness. Now, awareness doesn't mean that, oh, you're aware that it is daytime, or it is aware that I am in Mumbai, or I have this much money, or whatever. Awareness also has its other components in terms of knowledge. I need to know. Every time you check your news, watch television news or read the newspaper, and people may say, well, I have to keep myself abreast of whatever's happening. Financial analysts, those whose very profession depends on that. Every day you have to read heaps of newspapers or scan through so many thick volumes. How about there is no need to do anything in this category? Automatically you are in full knowledge. Those of you who use a personal, it was called a PDA, a personal digital assistant. So your small PDA in your hand has telephone numbers and everything. But you also need a backup, so that PDA is in, it is synchronized with your desktop, which is synchronized with your laptop. Of course, it's a big business. The main point is, if something is in sync, and these people make a lot of money out of that, they say, you just put this in your small machine and press this button, and with a wireless connection, this computer also will be updated. So what if in a particular level of existence, whatever happens throughout existence, you are just immediately updated. You don't need to read a book. You don't need to do anything for that. So first is eternity. Second is knowledge. And the third is bliss, happiness. Actually, you do something with a desire to become happy. During the process, you experience happiness. And when the process is over, you feel, that was good. It was a nice experience. The next time, it should be more. the bliss should be more, and that also is available. This is called Sat Chit Ananda. Sat feature means there is no threat, there is no death. Chit is full awareness. Ananda is happiness. I don't think anybody in this material world has ever experienced these three things. Although, subconsciously, that is a thing which is sought after. Remember your old folk tales or fairy tales? The prince married the princess and then they lived happily ever after. Why? Why not the next month there was a big domestic problem and the princess threatened him with a divorce and then there was a war and then a counselor was brought in? No. Fairy tales don't end like that. Fairy tales have to have this kind of thing. They lived happily ever after. This is just the summary of what we discussed. Sat Chit and Ananda. Living a life happy, full of awareness. So subconsciously, or whatever you may call it, this is our goal. This is what we are trying to aim. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, King Nimi had asked a series of questions to 9 very saintly, very knowledgeable people called the 9 Yogendras. Yoga is the path of mysticism. Yogendra is somebody who has mastered it. And these are 9 very, very exalted saints, the sons of King Rishabhdev. Out of them, Antariksha is the one who gets the query, what is Maya? Or he's the one who voluntarily tries to understand, answer this question, what is Maya? And in the Bhagavatam, many times this query has come. Kapila Muni has a long discourse on what is material energy. Jadabharat tells Maharaj Rahugana what this material energy is through the analogy of a forest. And Uddhava is also being instructed by Lord Krishna as to what Maya is. All of them are unique. They are different. At the same time, they retain their essence. Antariksha says that the Supreme Lord gives himself in the feature of Paramatma. The very word Paramatma means that he is something special. Like you have a corporate entity, a company, and there is somebody called chief. Now the very first notion when you enter that office, oh, he's a chief officer, chief executive officer. What does it mean? Of all executive officers, he's the chief, he's the boss, divisional manager, head manager, or president. So similarly, Paramatma, the very word suggests that he is somebody special, he's the head, he's the chief. Still in India, people feel that Atma is Paramatma because they both stay in the same body. That's no problem. There are so many people who work in the same office. Doesn't mean they are equal. The boss and his secretary, the secretary might just be outside the boss's office. The peon may be sitting outside the office. Doesn't mean that he and the boss are equal. So Paramatma in a human body doesn't degrade him. It doesn't make him equal to Atma in any sense. Why? Antariksha makes it very clear. Krishna is so perfect that when he understands that the living entity has separate desires for enjoyment, with his perfect intelligence, he has determined that 8.4 million material bodies is what they require. Till today, there is no single jiva who is lamenting in some non-animated state saying that I have desires and none of these bodies fit my desires. What do I do? No. Krishna says, yes, you have a material desire. Here are 8.4 million bodies. It happens with you and me so many times. We go to some place, we need a room. And you check in the hotel and you say, this room is too small. So you take the bigger one, it's too expensive. Take this one, it's too high. Or take this one, it's too low, I get traffic noise. So what do you want? I'm going somewhere else. What to do? So in that sense, material bodies are like hotel rooms, but because they are made by man, they are so imperfect. Some people just cannot sleep in some other room, or they cannot sleep away from their own home. That's another problem. But here, when Krishna gives a material body, the jiva looks at it as if this is it. I don't need anything else. This is exactly what I wanted. And that is Krishna's perfection. Prabhupada in one lecture was saying, Jalaja Navalakshani, 9,900,000 types of bodies fit to stay underwater. Prabhupada says, not 8,99,999 or not 9,01,000. No need for that. Sometimes you read in scientific newsletters that scientists are saying, previously we thought there are only 250,000 species of people or creatures staying in water, but now scientists are saying it could be much higher than that, up to 3,00,000. So Prabhupada said, you keep on counting. You know, how many Nobel Prizes will be given for people who keep on counting? And here somebody reads the Vedas, he gets first-hand account, 9,00,000, that's all. No need to do research. So coming to the original point, that Krishna makes these material bodies. Now the body is made, like a hotel is constructed. The rooms are there. Imagine a hotel with 8.4 million rooms and a jiva knocks on the gate. I have material desires. Welcome to the material world. What do you want? Now when you say what do you want, it's not like, normally people might say, I want the presidential suite. I want the topmost thing here. Show me the color of your money. So you want is you deserve. You want is what you want. And the resources you have is whether you deserve it. So both of these are taken into account. When that soul is put into that material body, Krishna is Paramatma. Paramatma feature also is the time feature. He activates 5 knowledge gathering senses, 5 working senses, mind, intellect. It is just like a chief person, like a chief electrician. He comes to this room and he just starts activating everything. Like at 4:19 a.m. every day morning, this temple hall is in an inert state. It is not manifest as a temple. It is like a bedroom for many devotees. Many devotees sleep here. It's all like, it looks like that Kumbh Mela tents. But at 4:20 a.m. exactly, the pujari rings a bell. He wakes up the Lord. And some devotees who have already woken up, they come here And in a span of 50 seconds, less than a minute, the chandeliers are on, the fans are off, somebody is cleaning, somebody is sweeping, somebody is mopping. It's a beehive of activity, just in a matter of seconds. And of course, at 5 o'clock, it's like full-fledged Mangalarti, dancing, chanting, everything. So spirit souls have come and they have activated it. Somebody might say, but what if it is put on an auto mode and automatically every day morning 4:20 it goes on? For that too, somebody, some spirit soul has to act. Like our cameras, Guru Gauranga Prabhu has kept everything on auto mode. He was telling me with great pride that everything is automated here. At exactly 5 o'clock, these cameras, they start sending the signals. People can watch in their internet on their website. He had to foam at the mouth for so many days to keep that automated thing. It doesn't come automatically. Basically, when you see man-made automation, it means somebody working like anything. So the Paramatma comes, activates everything, and suddenly the jiva gets knowledge. Oh, so many desires to fulfill. Oh, this thing to eat, this thing to savor, this thing to see, this thing to listen to. And his material life starts. Antariksha says, it's like a fork. Mind, intelligence, ego, straight towards sense gratification. A royal highway made for that. But he warns King Nimi, that's not the only purpose. The same mind, intelligence, ego can be used in a completely opposite direction. That is self-realization. Both of them are used for this purpose. But normally they say the living entity normally chooses sense gratification because that's what his seed desire is. I want to be separate from Krishna. Krishna himself gives a hint about this in the 7th chapter. Ichha dvesha samuthena dvandva mohena bharata. There is ichha and there is dvesha. Ichha for what? For trying to separately enjoy apart from being a servant of Krishna. If there is only ichha, it is sufficient. You just don't want Krishna. You don't want to serve Krishna. But there is dvesha also. I hate that Krishna is the enjoyer. Now this is a deadly combination. If you just feel sometimes, what will happen if I take something instead of giving it to Krishna? That's a powerful thought, a very negative thought. But when it is coupled with, and I don't want that Krishna should enjoy, analyzing my own mind, I find that both these thoughts are equally deadly. Sometimes you don't really hate Krishna. You may say, you enjoy your rasila, let me have mine. Or sometimes you feel, no, you cannot be the enjoyer. So you find today, in our example of Dhenukasura, if Dhenukasur would have his own scribes write down this account about what exactly happened that day, the Garga Samhita says that he was having his afternoon nap. This is afternoon time in Vrindavan. Krishna's friends have told Krishna that we are hungry and there is a nice tal tree orchard which has nice sweet smelling trees, fruits, and we are really attracted. That was the time when Dhenukasura was having his nap. And suddenly he finds the coward boys coming there, making a big sound, trying to gather the fruits. So he sends his soldiers, especially some people who are light sleepers or who are heavy sleepers, whatever, depending upon a particular case. But when their nap is disturbed, they are really angry. So he would feel that I'm just doing my duty. Now, what's your duty? Well, this is Kamsa's orchard. nice trees, nice fruits, all these fruits straight away go to Kamsa's service. I am the appointed boss here. This is my domain. This is my seva. This is my duty. And here comes this bunch of rowdy village urchins. And they just start shaking trees and they want the fruits for themselves. So it's natural that I just acted in self-defense. True, isn't it? From his point of view. And that is why Dhenuk, the Dhenuk demon, is called by Bhaktivinoda Thakur as a sum total of ignorance. Not only he's an ass in the sense that he's a donkey form, don't consider him like a normal, ordinary donkey which you see in the street. Keshi took the form of a horse, but when he started making a sound, it sounded like a lion's roar. Shukadeva Goswami describes Mrigendra Eva. So all these demons in Krishna Leela, in Vrindavan Leela, who came in the form of ducks, horses, and bulls, calves, they were really, really ferocious. I mean, you can't compare any of the most heinous suicide bombers today with them. They really were intent on destruction. Plus, they had mystic powers. Plus, they had that hatred. Plus, they had all the kinds of negativities which you associate with people who hate God. They had all of that. And then they were very powerful too, materially. So sometimes people ask, why God has to fight? Why God has to either assert his own position as a boss, or what does he gain by fighting? Is it something like he also has that necessity to fight? And some philosophers, they come to the conclusion, wait a minute, we understand what's the point problem here. You Vedic authorities, you don't have an idea of God, but you see human attributes and you paste it on God. You take what a human being wants. He wants to fight sometimes. He wants to show his love, affection, quarrel, so many things. And thus was born this idea. It is a Greek term. Some of you might have heard it. Don't feel bogged down by it. It's simple. Anthropomorphism. Anthropos means man. Morphos means changed. So man changes into God. And there are so many ways in which this wrong theory has permeated. Sometimes people say after a man dies, he becomes God. That means while he was born, I mean while he was alive, he didn't show so much of his miracles. But now that like some sadhus or babas, they die, they make a memorial for them, and later he suddenly becomes active, helping people in their businesses and solving their marital problems, health problems, legal problems, all kinds of things. This also is anthropomorphism. You try to understand God, you can't. So you say, basically, I need some kind of solace. I need some kind of a crutch. So maybe I feel that, oh yeah, yeah, a God who has feelings, a God who has this kind of emotions. It is nice, isn't it? This is precisely the problem how the problem began. In order to understand Krishna Leela, the first step is to understand Bhagavad Gita. 18.66 Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya. Give up all kinds of religion.
I had this query myself. I thought, well, I came to Krishna consciousness for religion, and here he is saying, give up all religions. So what do I do? Then now you understand after some time of deliberation that like a parent may tell their children, or in the army, defense services especially, there are people who sometimes listen to their own minds. If everybody has to walk in a particular way, this fellow is going there, or when they fire when they're not supposed to fire, or they don't fire when they're supposed to fire. So that kind of a crazy individual may be called by his boss, henceforth you just listen to me and nobody else. He said, yes sir, sir, yes sir. Why is that necessary? How are you supposed to train if you just, why you didn't fire? I thought, no thinking. I thought you said fire. No, I said no, don't cease fire. So all these kinds of communication problems arise because he's not paying attention. So what is that thing which Krishna is so much against? Why is he saying that give up all kinds of dharma? One of the building blocks of life, it's not exactly spiritual life, but a part of material life, is this idea of reward and punishment. And which we really feel is, it's 100% common sense. You do something, you get a reward. You do something else, you get punished. This is called Karma Kanda in Vedic culture. Karma Kanda means, like sometimes a child may go to his mother and say, can you please make a cake for me? Why? Because I was a good boy. Well, and how were you a good boy? Because I didn't break anything today. I didn't spill anything today. I didn't commit any mischief today. She may say, well, so what? So therefore I deserve a cake. Now looking at his particular level, the mother might actually decide to. So Karma Kanda level is basically, don't think that Karma Kanda basically is people are less developed materially. Even highly developed materially people may also be under that trap. Your personal professional life, you sell something, you work for somebody, everything works on reward and punishment. And therefore, people are conditioned into a kind of understanding that even spiritual life means reward and punishment. So many times I am asked by people, what was the exact problem in your life that you became a Hare Krishna? You know, no problem. No, come on, there must be something. Some major problem. You lost a job? I said, no. In fact, I had a good job. So what exactly was the problem? Unless there is a problem, how can you take to spiritual life? You may say, no, it was like a good situation, but I like the prasad, I like the dancing, I like the festivals, I like the temple atmosphere. Hey, come on. These are not attractive proposals. You can dance in a much more exuberant way outside. You can eat many other things outside. Coming to this point. So Karma Kanda is that particular stage where the reward, punishment, reward, punishment, reward, punishment, you get so caught up in that. Like so many of our devotees, they ask, why are we going to Kumbh Mela? Well, for some brahmacharis, the Nagas are the biggest attraction. Oh, we have heard so much of them, you know, then Nagas taking Diksha and Nagas doing this and Nagas doing that. I mean, they don't have any attraction for Vaishnavas, by the way. They never come here and interview. How do you do this? Why do you chant? But we have that. Maybe it's that nomadic, free wandering kind of lifestyle. We feel they are really revolutionaries, you know. Think for that matter, this is much more revolutionary than what they are doing there in the Himalayas. Okay, that's besides the point. What about nectar? Isn't it true that during these 40 days you stay at Kumbh Mela, Allahabad,
on the bank of the Triveni, you get punya, pious credit, as you can get by doing severe austerities for 12 years. It is called kalpavas. One kalpa. And especially on these specific bathing days, if you take bath, the nectar, I am not exactly sure, but there may be two accounts. Either the nectar which fell from Garuda's pot below comes up to the fore, or there is special nectar drops falling from above. Both of these could happen. And what is the game plan? Why you do that? Oh, for liberation. We were in Tirupati. There is a place called Papanashanam. Some of you must have been there. Big, huge rock surface. And streams come from there. And people stand under them and they feel that this is what that place is. All your sins will be removed. So sometimes, this was a meeting, All India meeting, and some devotees took out their beads and started cleaning those beads under that holy water. So Bhaktarup Prabhu was Prabhupada's disciple. He was saying, please don't do that. He said, no, this water is pure, and I'm just, you know, cleansing my beads. So he clarified, look, if you think that there is something which can purify beads given by Prabhupada or Prabhupada's representative, or you can purify your beads, this is karma kandva, this is thinking much below what you have been given. Like if you have a situation where somebody says, do this puja and you will become Lakpati. 100% success guaranteed. So people who have 40 rupees, 100 rupees, 20, 200 rupees, they come there. Those who actually do the puja faithfully, they actually become Lakpati and they're very happy. What if a Karodpati does that puja? So when he becomes a Lakpati, will he come home singing, hey, good news, I become a Lakpati? But someone might say, fool, you were a Karodpati before. No, at least I was trying to see whether the puja acts or not. The puja will. What's the problem? So those who go for their liberation will get liberation. But what about those who are doing bhakti? Why should they come down on the platform of liberation? Bhakti begins after liberation. All these coward associates, these sakhas, they are not trying to be friends of Krishna because, you know, otherwise there will be problem, the fear comes up. They are fully liberated. Fully. At the same time, Prabhupada wanted his followers to go to Kumbh Mela. Why? Twice he went. 71 for the big one and 77 when he was so sick. And he took early morning bath. Of course, he used a hand pump. Prabhupada said three things. Give Krishna Naam, give Krishna Katha, and give Krishna Prasad. So while everybody and their guru is trying to get liberation there, Prabhupada was saying that no, we never do anything to get liberation. Why? Because our program begins after liberation. But at the same time, I feel that this body is still made of three modes. I am still struggling with material ideas, with material desires. That remains a fact. That doesn't change. This proves the super excellence of the holy name. The holy name can penetrate below any material strata. Reach out to that soul wherever he is there and bring him up immediately as far as that intensity of attachment is concerned. So we sort of vacillate between liberated and non-liberated states. What do you mean liberated? You got something. What do you propose to do with this? I want to serve Krishna. Liberated. I want this for myself. Then you are Maya. It is as simple as that. Liberation is for those people who think that this world is true. And then they say, no, this world is false. Why? Because I didn't get what I wanted. I heard a very nice definition from Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj about why this world is false. Like sometimes we feel that, hey, this world is real. Inflation is real. Terrorism is real. Crowds in a Bombay local train are real. It's not that just because you wish them away, they go. He said, this world is called false because it is not used for what it is made up for. False is its usage. Maya has made this world. Remember that fork of Antariksha. He says one road leads to sense gratification. That is the false usage of this world. And the other route leads to self-realization. So therefore, it's a big danger. If you ask somebody, what is the goal of your spirituality? As such, we don't find people having spiritual goals nowadays. But even of those few, apart from bhakti, of course, the goal is to, like, Om, I chant Om. I want to enter into that. Somebody promises divine light. Somebody promises consciousness elevation. Somebody promises knowledge. But people are not so intelligent as to think for some time. What if somebody gives you a mantra and that mantra gives you light? How many days can you stay in that light? And for how long? After that, what will you do after that light experience gets over? Many authors have written about their experiences with God. God is a strong, blinding light. Rabindranath Swarup Prabhu, he writes in his essay, I don't find staring at some light highly attractive. I mean, once and twice, thrice, four times you may see. If you're in a cave and some light comes, you may say, oh, how bright it looks. You can give a second look, third look. For eternity, can you stare at a light? Use this one yardstick of, will you be eternally doing this thing? Staring at a light, chanting Om, sitting in Padmasana, or on a lofty peak of the Himalayas. Right now, if you are in some train without any reserved berth, you might say, anytime I just go into some desert area or whatever. That's the reaction. That's not your desire. That's why the Karma Kandi type of religion is what Krishna says, give up. All those varieties, give up. And the Bhagavatam begins 1.1.2, Dharma Projita. This Projita has a direct connection with Sarvadharman Parityajya. You give up all these religions, surrender unto me, and Srimad Bhagavatam begins. Those who have given up these religions, their main quality is Parama Nirmatsara. They are not just happy that Krishna exists, or they allow Krishna as an idea to exist. No. There is a highest degree of developing that non-envious nature. Paramo nirmat saranam satam. And these are the personalities in front of whom Krishna reveals these pastimes. So the road towards Krishna can be a big royal road. And there are so many on the path. Doesn't mean all are equal. Krishna says, I reward accordingly. So those who come with a karmakandi mentality, they see God as a perpetual like, you know, I don't know whether you have worked for, say, boss like that. But every time you ask for something, you have to give a big documentation. You have to give a big reason why this is supportive documents, documents supporting supportive documents. And even if you ask 100, you know for sure he won't give anything more than 80. So it's like that, that kind of a bargain. So people think God also is like that. You have to really drive a hard bargain and then he gives little. So this reward and punishment kind of thing, Krishna says, give it up. And then this scene, which is described here, Krishna and his friends. So sometimes when we see these friends telling Krishna that I am hungry, can you get something for me? Krishna, I am tired. Krishna, can you sing? Krishna, can you dance? And Krishna dances. And we may say, hey, this is the spirituality I want. That I do, I tell something and Krishna does it. What about our end of the bargain? Have we given up this reward-punishment mentality? That if I do this, if I chant so much, I'll get this much. If I do this, I'll get that much. It's a long haul. It takes time. The very Mahamantra we chant has nothing to do with reward and punishment. Did you notice that? Oh Lord Krishna, please forgive my sins and please give me a nice reward. No, it's not like that. It is simply, engage me in your service eternally. That's all. Just engage me in your service eternally. As long as I'm engaged in service, service is a purifying agent. I know for sure. I may not be happy. I'm speaking from my own personal experience. Certainly, I'm never happy with some services. But then the acharyas assure me, you might be happy, you might be miserable, you might be in many shades in between. But please be assured, purification is 100% guarantee. If you're engaged in seva, purification is guaranteed. And that's what our goal should be. So when that purification becomes 100%, then this whole new vista of Sat Chit Ananda, it is inaugurated. That thing becomes opened. I'll end with a few notes on Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj gave a small talk on this Dhenukasura pastime. He got some added information from Garga Samhita. This nap thing is from Garga Samhita, that Dhenukasura is sleeping, taking his, enjoying his afternoon nap, and then his soldiers come and say that these boys are disturbing. So he sends, first of all, a few of his trusted commanders. They all get killed. So then he comes. First of all, he tries to grab Balramji. Balramji throws him in the air. He is knocked down unconscious. After some time, he regains consciousness. Then tries to attack Krishna. Before that, so many coward Krishna's friends. Somebody punches him. Somebody kicks him. Somebody tries to strangle him with a rope. So it's not like they are not doing their bit. After all that is done, he grabs Govardhan Hill, uproots it and throws it on Krishna. At least the Garga Samhita says that. Krishna catches Govardhan Hill and puts it back in the proper place. And then he lifts Krishna and jumps up in the air 800,000 miles. Again comes down. Now Balramji says, enough is enough. And then this thing, Brahma Itva. So he was not killed by dashing his head against a rock or strangling him. He just lost his life because of this centrifugal motion, which again brings up to this favorite point of Vishwanath Chakrutipad, that of all the demons killed in Vrindavan Leela, neither Krishna nor Balram, they did not use a single weapon. Check it out. Sometimes the lips, sometimes the hands, sometimes the legs, sometimes somebody is whirled around. Krishna starts using weapons only when he steps out of Vrindavan. That's the Vasudev Krishna. The Shyam Sundar Krishna, he just plays on his flute and he enjoys. The demons come just as a backdrop. The demons are not the deities of this Leela altar. They are the backdrop. They are just there to accentuate the enjoyment. These boys do not discuss demons as if so many demons are coming, we should stop going to Vrindavan. Never. They feel these demons come and they help us with our enjoyment. For sadhakas like you and me, these demons represent big time anarthas. Big time. And therefore, sometimes they are more important than the enjoyment part. So, Dhenukasura stands for gross ignorance. And Shukadeva Goswami promises, whoever relishes this Leela, he will be relieved from this ass-like mentality of carrying a huge load of mundane knowledge and being engrossed in ignorance. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.